here tonight.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, rain down. Fill this place with your presence, your love, your anointing.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. They asked me to sing, and you usually try to sing one or two just to help calm my nerves just a little bit.
Amen.
So. I left a barren land, searching for rest, stumbling around in amnesia, bitterness and distress. But then I met a kinsman redeemer, who's called the Mighty One. He took this old Moabite from the field, brought me to his house. He said, fear not, my child. Thank you. surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing. Oh, I surrender. Then whatever troubles me,
If you have your Bibles here tonight, I'd like to read a familiar passage of Scripture, Isaiah 53, starting at verse 1. When you're there, say amen. God, all right. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. I love that. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and have every one, or turned every one to his own way. And the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was opposed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb. He opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? That's a question. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for they shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Can we just bow our heads here tonight? Heavenly Father, how we love you. It's certainly an honor and a privilege to be here. Lord, I'm asking that you'll be with us the remainder part of the service, Lord. We feel your presence in our midst, Father. We know you're here. Lord, we're asking that you'll stay and be within every word that is spoken, every phrase, God, everything that is said, Lord. May it be a benefit to your bride, Lord, is my prayer, my desire, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts. And the bride says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It certainly is good to be here. And I'd like to say it's great to have my family here with me. You know, they always say behind every good man is a good woman, a good wife. And the Lord's blessed me. I know she could have done better than picking a husband. But I feel like the Lord has given me the best out there. And it's always a blessing to have a good wife, you know, through thick and thin. We got married at a young age. I think I was 19, 18. And, you know, we had to go through our struggles. As a young man, I had my stubborn ways. I still do. But she stuck with me through thick and thin, and I appreciate her being here. I'd like to say I do appreciate the invitation of being here to preach for y'all. I'm just a young minister, and I pray that there is something that can be edifying to you. Amen. If I had a title tonight, it would be being identified with Christ. I'd like to take us back to the very beginning. And I can see before the creation, at the beginning was God, this Logos. This great, omnipotent, great, almighty God that was there. I can see this God as He began to create this world and begin to go through the days and the steps as this world came into pass. As everything that was in His mind began to become a reality and to become a manifestation upon the earth that He was creating. And I can see this God and being up here all by Himself, how He had a longing for fellowship.
Yes.
He had a desire to show how great He was, how majestic He was. He wanted to show Himself as a healer, but there was no one to be healed.
All right.
He wanted to show Himself as a redeemer, but there was no one that needed to be redeemed. He wanted to show Himself as the great, almighty God, but there was no one there. So God created angels, as we go through it, Brother Branham said. God created angels, hoping that He would satisfy that longing for fellowship. But the angels was just there to give Him praise, but He couldn't have a relationship with these angels. Ain't that right?
Right.
So God began the process of man. And as we said, He goes through the creation of time and goes it all the way up to man. He creates man and He said, it is good.
Amen.
And we see that God finally had someone that He can communicate and have communion and fellowship with. Ain't that right?
Amen.
We understand that when God wanted fellowship, He didn't create the animal for fellowship. He created us.
Yes.
Amen.
He created you and me for fellowship.
Right.
And we can see that as God began to go through this man called Adam. Adam was God on earth. Ain't that right?
Yes, He was.
Everything that Adam spoke, God was there to back it up because He was God in flesh. Brother Branham said that God had to believe His own word when He began the creation of this earth. Adam believed His own word because he was God in flesh. Adam didn't have to worry about the wind ceasing or not ceasing when he spoke. He believed it and it happened.
Yes.
But we begin to go through this story on Adam, we begin to realize that Adam had a longing for fellowship as well.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
God said it is not good for man to dwell alone. So He created a helpmeet. He created Eve. He created woman.
Right.
To be the very helpmeet of Adam. And we begin to see that the very desire that God had, Adam had, and begin to express His desire through Eve. We understand, as we said before, that God had many desires in His heart. God had many things He wanted to express of Himself. But because there was no sin, He couldn't express it. So the fall came about. Do you believe that?
Yes, amen.
And God finally had an opportunity to express who He really was.
Yes.
Amen. Brother Branham said that when God created us, He gave each one of us a desire. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Each one of us had a desire for God. We had a longing for Him, a thirsting for Him.
Praise God.
But Satan came through and perverted that thirsting. That desire. Brother Branham said here that Satan can't create. He can only pervert what God has created.
Yes, sir.
And we begin to see that desire that once man had, that Adam had, dominion over the animals, over the fish of the sea. Adam was God. We begin to see once the fall came about, no longer was Adam petting the lion. That now he was running from it. No longer was Adam calming the storms. Now he was taking shelter from it. Everything that Adam was, now was taken away from him because of the fall. The book that Adam possessed was given back to God. Ain't that right?
Right.
Satan couldn't take that.
Right.
Satan couldn't have that, so God took it up. Right. And we know that God put the seals on it. And I'm so thankful for Prophet how this last day that he took the book with the seals and he opened it up and began to realize we know who we are on this day. Ain't that right?
Man.
We can identify in something. No longer. Are we locked up in this past house called sin?
Right.
We belong to another kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We see that Satan, after the fall, gave us a false identity. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to take my coat off, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Satan gave us a false identity. We lived under this identity for many years, most of our life. He always told us that we're a drunk, and we believed it.
Yes, sir.
That we'll always be a drug addict, and we believed it.
Yes, sir.
That there's nothing better for us, and we believed it. We lived under this false identity thinking, this is who we were.
Right.
This is simple. Just bear with me tonight.
Amen.
Just like that eagle in the chicken yard, we longed for something else. We realized that this wasn't us, and we had a desire for something more.
Amen.
That's that desire that God placed in each one of us.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Amen. People are trying to find out in this hour who we are, where we've come from, and where we're going. And that's been a popular question, is where have I come from?
Right.
Where am I going? There's something better for us out there. There's something greater for us out there.
Yeah.
We don't have to live in chains any longer. I've seen too many young people that live in chains all their life, and there's something better for them.
Amen.
They can't be set free if they're willing to be.
That's right.
But too many times people wait until they're on their deathbed confession, and then they realize that there's something greater. You can live in deliverance today.
Amen.
You can be set free today.
Amen.
You can live in freedom today.
Amen.
Is that right? You must identify in something that will last. Amen. People are trying to identify themselves in fashion. And sports, and athletes, and movie stars. And
right.
Identify as something that's going to die. They're identifying themselves as sports. I mean, you watch this Super Bowl, you know, the Eagles upset the Patriots, and it was a big thing. And
right.
You go look at these fans that are so-called fans of the Eagles. They said there was riots in the streets. Apparently the Eagles have never won a Super Bowl because they were excited. I mean, they were tearing up everything in their sight. And if you have to identify as something, you have to give your all into something.
Yes,
is that
sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. When people identify in fashion, these women that are models, they identify in fashion. They're willing to starve themselves to fit in the clothes they must wear. These athletes are willing to give their life, no matter what the cost,
all right.
To become the best that they can be. These movie stars are giving themselves to whatever. I mean, it's not popular. It's not uncommon anymore to see a movie with nudity in it and cussing it. It's become the norm.
Right.
They're willing to give of themselves fully. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
People go to church and put their name on a book and they think they're saved. Put their name on a wall and they pay their tithes and they go to the Catholic church and they have penance and they do whatever they need to do, thinking they're saved.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a world of deceit today, ain't that right?
Yes, sir.
People are trying to find a church that they can identify in. They go to what Brother Branham says, we're getting people to church, but not to Christ.
Right.
To identify themselves in a program. I was talking to a young person the other day, and he wouldn't come to our church because we didn't have a program for the youth where they have video games and arcade games. And he said our church was just not lively enough for him. Anymore today, that's what our young people are wanting. They want entertainment instead of God.
Yes.
They're identifying entertainment instead of God. I talked to a man the other day, and he told me, he said, he's never going to church again. I said, why is that? He said, because it's just all money. It's just all schemes anymore.
Man.
That's what our church has become anymore. These denominations, ain't that right?
Right.
Give them to church, but not to Christ. We must identify in Christ, something that will last. I know this is simple. Amen.
All right.
Tell you something. We must have the blood today in our worship.
Right.
We must have the blood today in our lives. Brother Brennan said that blood stands for the token.
Right.
If the children of Israel needed the blood for the death and the past, we must identify in that blood.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Right?
The blood is the token. We must have it applied in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Heard a man, I was talking to a church, the first form man the other day, and he says, we're beyond the cross. I beg to differ. We're not beyond the cross.
Amen.
We need the cross more than anything. Ain't that right?
Yes.
The cross is where I found my identity. The cross is where I was cleaned of my sins. I will forever cherish that cross. Ain't that right? You lose sight of the blood, you lose sight of who you are.
Right.
But Branham says here in the token, he says, the Holy Ghost in our token today to identify us with Jesus Christ in his resurrection. The blood must be applied. He said the blood can be applied by faith. Amen. We go and look back at the Old Testament and we see how Abel had a revelation from God that it took blood.
Yes.
And he sacrificed a lamb.
Right.
Because it was blood. It took blood to spare the children of Israel from the death angel.
Amen.
You go back and you study into the Old Testament. You go and look as a sinner would take a lamb. He would go and sacrifice that lamb. And Brother Branham described it beautifully how the sinner would take a hold of the horns of the altar. And he would identify with that blood. They said as they slit the throat of that lamb, the blood would cover everything. It would cover the sinner from head to toe as he's being identified. But let me tell you something. That blood would only roll their sin ahead a year.
Right.
It wouldn't take the conscience of sin away.
Right.
Once they left that place, they would still have the nature to sin, to tell a lie, to commit adultery, to commit murder. Because that sin only covered it or rolled it ahead for a year. Or that blood, excuse me. But we have a blood today that no longer will just roll our sins ahead for a year, but it will completely annihilate the sin that we once had.
Amen.
It will take the very conscience of sin away. The desires that we had in here, that old man,
right.
The old man. Amen. I just thinking of what God has done in my life.
Yes, sir.
That old man, that nature that I once had, and how we were in this pest house called sin, this body, and how every desire was there because we were born with that desire. Ain't that right?
Yes, sir.
But that very blood, listen to me, young people, you think it's just a myth. That blood is very real.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Every desire that you face, God can completely take it away.
That's right.
Is that right?
Amen.
Every sin you've ever committed, God can completely annihilate it. We don't have to live in sin. No. We don't have to live in shame.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. God didn't give us a message for us to live in chains and not in freedom. This message was to bind or to loose the captives. Ain't that right?
Amen.
It was to bind Satan this last hour. We must identify in that.
Amen.
Amen. We must identify. Amen. Brother Branham said as an American, he identified in America. Right. In the good and the bad. He said he was there when George washed across the Delaware. He was there when the Liberty Bell rang for liberty.
Right.
He said, as an American, he was there when they signed the Declaration of Independence.
Yes, sir.
He was there when they fought in the Civil War.
Amen.
He said he must identify the good and the bad.
Amen.
If Brother Branham is so passionate about identifying something that's in the natural, how much more should we be passionate about something in the spiritual?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, brother.
When Christ was beat, I was beat. When Christ died, I died.
Yes.
When Christ rose, I rose.
Yes, sir.
Because I can identify in that.
Yes, amen.
I can identify in something that will last.
Yeah, right.
Not something that will just give us pleasure for a season and then we go off to hell. But something that will last for all eternity.
Amen, brother.
Amen. It's pretty sad in this age. Everything is just so chaotic and so mixed up. You got the older trying to look young. And then you got the young trying to look old.
Yeah.
I mean, I seen an elder the other day and just so caked with makeup and so, I mean, I don't know, wearing a short shirt way up to here. And she looked like she was in her 70s and purple hair. And it's just people are trying to look young. I mean, and then you got young people that I'm thinking, okay, yeah, you're my age, you're 26, and the kid's 12. It's just an age where people are looking younger and they're trying to look older. And They're not wanting to realize that they're dying.
Right.
That this is the age where let me tell you something. Let me tell you, women. My dad says it all the time. He said, I think this bride is the most beautiful, has the most beautiful women on earth.
Yes.
You don't need no makeup to dog yourself up to make you look beautiful. Your natural beauty is a beauty from God, and it's beautiful.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. They're trying to find something that will lapse, that will make their body look younger. Botox and everything after that will make you look younger. Let me tell you something. Identify in Christ, and one day you'll be young again.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
One day you'll be young again. We'll have an eternal youth meeting one day.
Thank God.
Amen. And it won't be from some genetic, man-made product.
Right.
It'll be something that God has given.
Glory.
And it's something that will last for eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Branham said when God made his first masterpiece, it was hid behind the Word. And when God made his second masterpiece, it was the Word. The bride must identify that Word.
Amen.
We must be identified in Christ. When I was looking for a wife, like I said before, I got blessed with a beauty queen. And when I was looking for a wife, I wasn't looking for someone that was immature, 12 years old, that wasn't ready for marriage. I was looking for someone that was ready to commit.
Amen.
Brother Branham, excuse me. Christ is not looking for some immature bride.
Right.
He's looking for someone that can identify and commit to the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He's no longer dating. We're not in the dating game any longer. We're not in the courtship any longer. We're in the marriage of the Lamb.
Amen.
And this is where the bride must make herself ready. Identify in the Word.
Yes.
Amen. I enjoyed Brother Tony's message last time I was here. He was talking about the bride's covering.
Amen.
The bride is covered with the Word. They're identified in the Word. They are dressed in the Word. Amen. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
God is not fitting this garment to fit you. God is customizing you to fit the garment. Ain't that right?
Amen.
We must identify. We can see many people identify with the team. Win or lose. I mean, I love watching sports more than anything. You can ask my wife. When my OU team fumbles the ball, all they got to do is get up, score, and they win. Okay? OU's known for flops. That's just it. And they're just known for it. Okay, we're anticipating this touchdown. You got to just hand off. You got the best running back in the nation. Run it in. And they throw a pick. I'm screaming. I've identified with this team. All of a sudden, my team scored the touchdown. I'm rejoicing. And if a team can get so crazy where they're out in 50 below weather without shirts for a game, we must identify like that.
Oh,
we must come to this church on fire for God.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is simple. Just bear with me. Amen. We must come to God on fire for Him.
Amen.
Amen. Had a quote here I thought was really good. Just bear with me here. Can't find it here. But I thought this was amazing. It says, beware when you notice all these things in your life. It says, beware when prayer becomes a difficult thing for you. Beware when fasting has become a history in your spiritual timetable.
Come on, brother.
Beware when you're no longer enjoying reading the Word of God. Beware when attending church program is becoming a burden rather than a blessing for you.
Amen.
Beware when living holiness is appearing like extremism. Beware when sinful living becomes a lifestyle in the name of grace.
Amen.
It says, beware when you crave the world more than you crave the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Beware when you'd rather be out at a social gathering than in a church service. It says, when you notice these things, beware. Satan's creeping in. I begin to see this and realize this, that Satan has taken our life, or time, the very existence of who we are. And you know, before you look at the old men of old, the old women of old, how I believe it was Wesley's mother, I believe it was, how she would go in there with 14 children, I believe, 12 or 14 children, and still pray 3 or 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours a day.
Right.
What happened to that time? We can't even get down and pray for 30 minutes anymore.
Amen.
seems like Satan has taken our time in our life, and we're so busy. So busy, go, 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 where we have no time to stop and to read our word. This is where we're given our strength.
That's right.
This is where we've been given our power. We must identify the word of God.
Amen.
You must identify with Christ. And the only way we can identify in Christ is going to this. This is a love letter to the bride.
Right.
You want to get healing, look in the word of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
You want to get deliverance, look in the word of God.
Right.
This is where we're structured. This is where everything that we are is right here in this word. Ain't that right?
Amen.
But we have no time to pray. Look at my life. I'm a young man of 26 years old. And it's like, God, where has the time gone? Seems like this last year has been the quickest year for me in my life. It just seemed like it was 2017. Now it's 2018. And I ask myself, how much closer am I to God?
Right. Good question.
Am I on fire for God, or am I still struggling with things that I've struggled for year after year now? Have I identified in Christ, or am I on this phone and just on this phone all the time? I ask God, I need a renewing. Dad sent this page that I read to you just a while ago, and it became a reality, and I began to realize, Lord, I need a change in my life. I've been identifying myself in many other things. I must have a closer walk. Is that what you want tonight?
Amen.
Lord, I've got to have a... Lord, I need a deliverance. I just need an old-fashioned renewing.
Yes, yes.
I need an old-fashioned, Lord, and all... You know what? It's I think it's a good thing if we get down to the altar every once in a while.
Amen. Yes.
I think it's a good thing if we just get down and have snot slinging, your tears cover the altar because you're so desperate for God.
Amen.
Remember the time where young people were so desperate that they would spend hours upon hours upon hours seeking God for deliverance? It's not here any longer. We don't have desperation any longer. We're not identifying what God truly is any longer, are we? Read a story here that I love dearly. Brother Branham reads the story. I think Brother Branham is probably one of the best storytellers I've ever heard. It says, an old sea captain upon the sea. He pretty near lived his life out in sin, but once he had heard of the Bible of God, he lay dying, and he said, is there one person that can talk to me about the Bible? Is there one Bible on my ship? See, he waited a long time to think about it.
Right.
But God's full of mercy and grace.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. They found a boy they picked up on the ship, and he had a Bible. He told him, he said, come in, son, and sit down by my bed and read me that Bible. The young lad turned Isaiah 53:5, and it reads like this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. The little boy turned and he said, Captain, sir. He said, yes, lad. Let me read it the way my mama used to read it to me. I'll tell you something, mama, you're very important.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You're very important to raising your children. Amen. Let me read it the way my mama used to read it to me. He said, I read it the way it's wrote in the Bible, but there's a way that mama used to read it to me. He said, go ahead, son, read it the way your mother read it. He said, mama used to set me on her knee and said, he was wounded for Willie Pruitt's. He was wounded for Willie Pruitt's iniquity. The chastisement of Willie Pruitt's peace was upon him. And with his stripes, Willie Pruitt was healed.
Yes.
Praise God.
The old captain said, I wish I had a mother like that. He said, maybe my name could be read into it. The little boy said, just a minute, Captain. He said, let me read it with your name. Amen. He said, he was wounded for John Court's salvation. Amen. He was bruised for John Court's iniquity.
Hallelujah.
The chastisement of John Court's peace was upon him, and with his stripes, John's Court's was healed. Light flashed over the old captain's face. He said, close the book, son. I see it.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you something, friend. It's no longer just a one man ministry where the priest would go in once a year and we would sacrifice the lamb. Now it's not; it's a personal walk now.
Yes,
glory to God.
So long for one preacher. It's a unified body.
Hallelujah.
You're going to have an experience like you've never had before. You can get personal with God. You can identify that lamb. He says, when you read your name in there, he was wounded by William Branham's transgression. He was bruised for William Branham's iniquity. That's when peace comes. Not just that, it was just a wholesale affair. It was for me. It was an individual. I was included with that. With his stripes, William Branham was healed.
Amen.
It's different. Once you can identify in that, you look at life a completely different way.
Amen.
Say, I love the Lord tonight with all my heart.
Amen.
If there's ever a time that we must get serious, it's now.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Billy Graham just passed on. The third angel has gone off the scene.
Yes, sir.
Mercy and grace is shut to the Gentiles and churned to the Jews. It is time. If you want to get in the ark of safety, it's now.
Because
that door is shutting really fast.
Yes.
And then before long, the Lord is going to come. And those that have identified in that lamb will be taken, but those that have not be left for tribulation. And I don't want to see anyone left for that tribulation.
Amen.
Identify that lamb. Lord, those chopped up tonight, but Father, I pray that they got my meaning, Lord.
Yes.
Father, it's a dark time, an evil time, where Satan is on the prowl, and he's going after every soul. He knows his time is short, and he's doing everything he possibly can, Lord, to destroy this bride. But Father, you've given us something to identify with. Lord, you've given us a word, a message, Lord, that lets us know who we are, that we're no longer a slave to fear, to sin, Lord, but we have been set free. Lord, and the horn of liberty has been blown. Lord, this is the year of Jubilee. Lord, I'm asking that you help everyone in here tonight, Lord. May we push every weight aside, Lord, that can be set this walk, Lord. God, may we leave here, Father, and with a closer revelation, Lord, a closer walk, a newer love for who you are, Lord.
Yes.
May we have a renewing like we've never had before, Father.
Grant it, Lord.
God, may we dig into this word like we never have before, Lord. May we identify ourselves in this, Lord. And
yes,
once we start to dig in this word, Lord, we can see where we've come from. We can see who we are.
Oh,
and we can see where we're going.
Praise your name.
Lord, I'm asking that you'll set our eyes on that goal, Lord. May we not turn to the left or right. But God, as your coming is approaching us, Lord, I'm asking that we'll be more fervent, Lord, more reverent. God, more dedicated, Lord, to this word like we've never been before.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, because one day you're going to take your faithful bride home, Lord, and we're going to open this Bible for the last time, Father, and close it for the last time. And we're going to be at that marriage supper of the Lamb and with the one that's redeemed us, Lord, from the curse of the law and given us an opportunity and given us a new identity, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Showing us who we are. We must identify in that. We must identify in Christ.
Amen.
Lord, that's our desire and our prayer. I'm asking that you'll be with everyone tonight and appreciate their patience, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts. Do you love him tonight?
Amen.
Do y'all know that old song, Who I Am, Lord? That's who I am.
Yes.
Who I am, Lord, it's who I am. I can see now who I am. Part of my Savior, a part of His Word. It's the revelation, it's predestination of who I am. Can you stand and help me sing it now? Oh, who I am, Lord. Oh, who I am.
like that second verse there. I think it was the second verse. Might have been the first one, but angels descending. That's what happened in our day. Amen. Raining down the whispers of mercy and echoes of love. You know, Brother Colby was talking about when God was seeking someone he could fellowship with. He started out with angels and he made all the creatures, and you know, and he said, it's good, it's good, it's good. But when he got down to the last day there where he made man, he said, it's very good. God made us in his image, not something else.
Right, amen.
He made us in such a way that that longing for fellowship that he had, that could be met in us. So he made us like him. So in all the overcoming power and all the majestic abilities and character that he has imparted that kind of thing to us. So he wants us to live a life that we are the image of God, right? We are actually walking this earth expressing him, so that when others see us, what they see is an expression of God. Whether they understand it or not, that's what they're supposed to see. So he talked about how that Satan would come along, and Satan wants you to be identified with everything else other than that. Right?
Right.
So if God is holiness, Satan wants you to be something different than that. If God is righteous, he wants you to be something different than
that's
that.
Right.
If God is the center of all that which is good, Satan wants you to be something different than that. And so he comes along and he sways you off from the image of God to be an image of something else, to express something else. So not only are you not living what you should, but when others look at you, they don't see God. So it just goes like a snowball. What he wants to do in your life starts with your life, and then it just snowballs. And so everybody around you is affected by the decisions that you make, whether or not you follow God or you follow after something different than that. So Brother Colby said, you know, we need to be identified with the cross.
Right.
And then if Sister pull up Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, I just want to read something real quick. I don't want to try and preach, but I want to just come along behind Brother Colby and just back him up with what he said. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. He that taketh not his cross, right, and followeth after me, is not worthy of me. And you know, a cross is something that you crucify something on.
Right.
And you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, he had the same fleshly pains and you know, could suffer this kinds of same things we did, and had the same kinds of aspirations or desires that we would have. And so, because he could be tempted in all these ways that we are, right? So he understood all those things, and he was here, and he had a right to sit down and drink his favorite drink if he wanted to. He had a right to go hang out with his friends if he wanted to. He had a right to go find a wife and be married and have children, right? He had a right. That could have been his life. But that life was nailed to a cross. Right? That life was nailed to a cross. So he says right here, he, and that's talking about all of us, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me.
Amen.
So every one of us have a cross. We have a right,
right
to drink our favorite drink, to go hang out with our friends. We have a right to pick up a phone and spend time on a phone looking at something. We have a right to play a video game if we want to, right? We have a right to do that. Right. But I'm going to ask you a question. When we're doing that, and somebody looks at us, do they see Christ? And the answer is no. They don't. So what we're supposed to do here is to take this life that we have a right to, just like he did, take that life and nail it to the cross.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to. And if we don't do that, we're not worthy of him. We're not worthy of that life that hung there on Calvary. Right? That's the whole thing. We were bought with a price. We are not our own. And what we are supposed to represent in this world is Christ.
Amen.
So I ask you, how are you carrying your cross today? How are you doing that? I'm going to talk to our young people too, because I've talked to them before about this. But how are you going to express Christ to those around you? Because when you're sitting there doing this on your phone playing a game, is that representing God? Is that expressing Christ? Are you gaining strength in your spiritual walk doing that? No. It's simple, right? Black and white. No. This is not expressing Christ. We're getting close to the end. And somebody's got to nail this thing down and make it clear that if we are longing after things that does not express Jesus Christ, we're not worthy of Him yet.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We are to surrender ourselves to Him so that our life is an expression of Him always. So we're supposed to take all the, yeah, we could do this, we could do that, but at some point in our lives, we have to say, you know what? I'm not going to do what I want to do. Right? It's not just talking about sin. You're supposed to put that away too, right? That's supposed to go away. But just even things that's not sinful can become sinful,
that's right,
because Christ is not exhibited in that. And we have to nail those things to the cross. So whenever you get up and you're like, well, there's my phone there. I just pick that up and I'll just start looking at something on YouTube, or I'll play my little favorite little game right there. But you have a choice. You have a choice. You can do that, or you can do something that represents Jesus Christ. You can do something that will put strength in your walk. You can do something that will allow your life expression to help others and strengthen them and bring them to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So there you have it. You can do one thing or you can do the other. You can walk your life or you can nail it to the cross.
Amen. That's right.
Right? You can live it your way, or you can nail it to the cross. And that's what it's all about. I remember years ago, and now my wife knew me back then. My brother Richard knew me, and my Aunt Mary knew me. I guess the rest of you didn't. But God got a hold of me, and something changed me. You young people, God is there is a reality. You can make contact with the creator of the entire universe. He can touch you in such a way. This is what I know. I give my heart to the Lord, and I went for about a month, I think it was, and praying, and I just felt like I had prayed into the wall. I had given my heart to the Lord. I was sincere, but it was just like I was talking to the wall. But one day, something happened. And I've never been the same since. I came in contact with something that you can't put words. You can't describe it in words. And I've never been the same. I'm not a perfect person. I've made plenty of mistakes. But I'll tell you one thing. I know He's alive. I've met Him. And He made a difference in me. And something in me changed. It'll never go back. No matter how many mistakes I make, I made contact with something. It's by His grace. And that's what I'm saying. You young people, you struggle with this, you struggle with that. You'll go home and you'll think about what Brother Tony said. Yeah, I want to play this game. But Brother Tony says, I need to express Christ. You'll go home and think about that, and you'll struggle with it. But I'm telling you that you can touch God in such a way. Tonight, you can touch Him in such a way that He places something inside you that 99% of that struggle will disappear.
Right.
Because you'll have something living on the inside. And you'll know, you'll walk out of here and you'll say, I know Jesus Christ is alive. Not because my mom and dad told me, not because their preacher told me, but because I have met Him myself in my spiritual walk. He came to me and change something inside me, and I'll never go back. I'll never be able to go back because something's been birthed. And when you birth something, you can't unbirth it, right?
Right.
I don't do much of anything on social media, but sometimes I want to get on there and just ask some questions to some of my friends and family that call themselves Christians. You're supposed to be born again. That means you got a new life in you. Right? The old life goes away and you've got another birth of another life. If that life that you're rebirthed in is the same old sinful life that made you a lost person to begin with, it'll do it again. To be born again is to have a new life that's not like that old one.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? No matter how far we get down the road, people have taken away just the basics of what the gospel means. You know, we can talk about angels and all kinds of mysteries and all that, but when it gets right down to it, there's got to be a change down inside our hearts that makes us like Him. And when that happens, you'll have something in you that longs after God.
Amen.
The scripture says it, and Brother Brown said it over and over. If you love the world, right, and the things of the world, it's because the love of God is not in you.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, you meet Him once, you'll fall in love with Him.
That's right.
Amen? And you'll long after Him. You'll thirst after Him. Like a deer panteth for the water brooks, you'll thirst after God. And you'll do what you have to get a drink of Him often.
That's right?
Often. Because if you don't, you'll be just like that deer going through dry places and Satan will wound you and be attacking you. And you'll know, I got to get to that fellowship with my Creator because you've met Him. Now, if you've never met Him, you don't have that longing. But you can have that experience tonight to meet Him. Amen. It'll change you forever. Then you'll be identified with something that's the image of God. You won't be identified with all this stuff out here. You know what? All these gadgets. You could use a television for God, but do they?
No.
Right? You can use radio. Does it get used for God? Not a whole lot.
Right?
You can use a phone for God, but how much of it do you use for God? Come into the land, you're supposed to take over and destroy all of that, and those things that you could that could be remain there were to be servants to you rather than to be the other way around. Amen. God bless you. I want you young people to think about that. Amen. We can pray with you. However long it takes.
Right.
Amen. And you go from here tonight, you just remember that. There's a reality that the Word of God can touch your heart and change you. Listen, you've fought these struggles. You know what I'm talking about. All of you. You know. And so, the next time you're confronted with, do I do this or do I pick up the cross? The next time you're confronted with that, as in the past, if we do like we've done in the past, we'll go this other way and we won't express Christ. But time's running out.
Right.
And if we don't change what we're doing today, I pray, when will it be? When will be the day that you finally recognize and say, you know what, I got to get a hold of God. This has got to be changed. This has got to be different. Amen? That's what you got to do. Come on. We're going to bow our hearts in prayer just for a moment. And you pray. If you want to come up here, you can. Whatever you want to do, front, in your seat, however. But don't pass up this opportunity. This is a great opportunity. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, You know the hour that we live in. You know us as a people. You know what we're up against. You know that we are but dust as in a human form. But God, You also know what You have provided for us in this day and what You're ever present right here in this room tonight, what You're here present and ready to impart into the lives of Your people if they would just surrender to You. So, Lord Jesus, as we stand here tonight and know that there's needs all across the building, Lord, of just greater victories in each life, we're asking, God, that You just touch every heart, that you'd take these words, Lord, and you'd fuse them into the hearts of your people,
yes,
that they would not forget those things, that they would bind them, as it were, on their hand and their forehead, Lord, that they would remember these things and place them before you in prayer. Begin to seek you, as our brother said. Begin to pray and seek you and ask you to fulfill your word. And God, I ask that you begin to put a hunger in their hearts.
Yes.
Put a hunger in my heart, Lord, a greater desire for you and for the things that you have for us in this hour. God, that we would be a people victorious over these things, that the things that we have fought and not had victory over in our lives up to this point, God, that it would change this night from this day forward. Lord, there'd be victories that would be won. God, that we would be a praise to you, and that when others look at us, God, that they would see Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Lord, I ask that you'd help each one, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just sing a song, worship Easter. Service was started. I was here and I was back there at the back, and I heard sirens going by. Of course, we had pre-service music, but sirens were going by, and just such a contrast. And I was sitting there looking at that Hoffman Head of Christ, and I was just struck with such a overwhelming emotion, I guess, of the contrast of the presence of the Lord in this place, and sitting there looking at that Hoffman Head of, and what he and he alone has done for humanity, and in the background that contrast of every, Brother Bram said, every siren there ever was, right? That contrast, I thought, Lord, all that's because they've walked away from you.
That's right, amen.
And you mark it, if you walk away from the Word of God, your life will turn into Babylon.
Right.
That's what happens when you walk away from God. You become Babylon. Amen. Wonder. Amen. God is good to us. Amen. I appreciate what the brother had to say tonight.
Amen.
Never make apologies for the Lord, brother. Amen.
Amen.
Right? It's good stuff. I wish he'd go on with it. He'll be here tomorrow. But you know, God knows how to take the Holy Spirit upon a man and make you say something, and just say it just the right time and just the right way in the right sequence to change the world.
That's right.
Thank you for that. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Prater if he'd come up and he'd greet you if he feels led to, and close the service with prayer. Glad to have him over here tonight with us, and Brother Miller. And I have a CD for Brother Rodney I need to give y'all before somebody gets out of here, so I told him I'd give it.
Good to have been in the house of the Lord tonight, right? To hear the word of God expounded. And then Brother Colby mentioned about the third angel, third of three of those angels that was to visit the earth when it was in a sodomite condition. And all three of those angels have come and gone. Brother Branham said this one, that one, and the other. Now that all three gone, they did their job, they did it well. Everybody knows what the next phase is after the three angels left. There was a distinct change in Sarah. Amen. She became an entity on earth that a king, a Philistine king, paid attention to. And I think if we will just dedicate ourselves to our identity, that the world will start taking note that the bride of Jesus Christ is alive and well. There is a bride raising up. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, that we have been reminded through the preaching of your word and the fellowship of saints, the singing of the songs of Zion, that there is a higher calling to the people of God. There is a position for the bride of Christ to be in at this very moment, Lord, for our identification to be expressed. Already we're beginning to see around the world, Lord, a witness of your gracious mercy and grace among that group called the Bride of Jesus Christ. She, Lord, is the entity now for the emphasis of God to be placed upon her. Lord Jesus, we pray for ourselves. We pray for the entire body of Jesus Christ tonight, that we would come to where the head is, Lord. For where the head is, the body will be there. Father, we thank you tonight that we've been reminded of our position. We pray, Lord, that we will accept our identification, Lord, and walk worthy of the vocation that you called us to. Help us, Lord, tonight to continue on, to press, Lord, into the kingdom. We ask your blessings on all of those that are here tonight, saving those, Lord, that need saving, healing the sick, drawing us all closer to you. We know that as we draw closer to you, we'll draw closer to one another. We thank you for the word of God that we heard tonight. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ to the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song he mentioned in his prayer, as a bride raising up, or whatever that's the name of the song. There's a bride raising up. There's an army.
There's an army.
Everybody happy?
Amen.
Feel blessed tonight? How many is happy to feel better in body? It's been rough. A lot of people, some of the saints here at the church have been blessed and have not been touched by any of the sickness that went around. But,
amen.
But there's been several that have been touched, and for me it's been a 3-week thing. And I'm finally beginning to hear pretty good in my left ear now. And beginning to feel a lot better. So I want to thank you for the prayers. And I know Sister Bansy had called and said, thanks for the prayer. She's feeling much better. And so just want to thank each one of you. And I think we'll probably try and go find some beans to eat or some pizza to eat or something. So everyone's invited. We'll figure out what we're going to do here in just a minute. But certainly want to invite everyone to spend some time of fellowship here as we get more fellowship for the rest of the evening. So God bless you. Yeah. There you go.